Welcome to 1572. The person you've called has chosen not to receive certain calls. A message can be left after the tone.
It's Peter Donegan for Ian Twaits. We'll try again in a little bit. Okay.
Welcome to 1572. The person you've called.
With a childlike vision sleeping into view. The click and clacking of the high heel shoe. Vernon Fitzroy, man of the.
Hello, Ian Twaits.
Ian, how are you?
Oh, I'm very well, thanks, Peter.
I couldn't get through on the landline because apparently you chose not to accept my call.
I'm what?
I don't know.
Oh, that's strange.
Yeah, it's
we've got the BT thing on to stop nuisance phone calls, and it picks out people that it thinks are nuisances.
BT is quite clever.
It is, yes. So I shall have to have a look at that because we deliberately don't block withheld numbers because one of my wife's friends is a withheld number. So,
well, it's a good thing I'm not one of your wife's friends, Ian.
Bear with me a second. I'm just going to go and get a power lead just in case. I'm not sure what the power is like on my phone. There should be plenty in there, but
yeah,
just in case, I'll plug it in. So just bear with me a second.
Take your time.
Right, I've got power on standby in case it's needed.
That's absolutely fantastic, Ian. All right, we should probably go straight into this and we'll just see where we fare. Okay, you ready?
Yes, that's fine, yes.
Yeah, you're cozy?
I'm indeed, yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sideshow Garden Podcast.
It's another Friday afternoon and you are tuned to another episode of The Sideshow. Now, you might remember, you may not remember, but we had a discussion on Twitter some time ago. And essentially, it was about gardening clubs and societies. And some negative things came from that and some very good positives came from that. We've discussed that and will discuss that on other shows. However, the logic behind my thinking was to turn around and say, well, hold on a second, we've got some great, fantastic societies out there, groups of, as one person said to me, of like-minded individuals where the common denominator is essentially photosynthetic. And when you take all of those riches in abundance and you put them all together, you essentially end up with these little groups. When I was at the Garden Media Guild Awards, in brackets, of which the Sideshow was a finalist or shortlisted, thank you very much for that round of applause, in the bag on my way out the door was a copy of the Cacti or Cactus and Succulent Society magazine. And to that, Ian Twaits, no stranger to me, good friend at this stage of the game, fellow member of the Garden Media Guild and photographer, is on the end of the line. Ian, how are you, my good man?
I'm very well, thank you.
We know each other more for what you do on a professional level, which is as a full-time garden photographer. Do you want to tell me a little bit about that and what you do for a living?
Yes, I pursue a dream, really. I have a wonderful lifestyle of photographing people's gardens, photographing plants, and just being outside a lot of the time. The downside to it is that there is an awful lot to do in front of the computer, which is what is saved for rainy days and very often the winter. So at the moment, it's a chance to look at nice sunny pictures and start dreaming about what has been and will be again.
We last met, Ian, if I remember correctly, at the Garden Media Guild Awards. Prior to that would have been Tatton. Prior to that would have been Hampton. We appear to end up on the road together.
We do indeed, yes. It's I think the RHS shows are a wonderful opportunity to meet people And if you're a plantsman like both of us, what a wonderful opportunity to see so many genera species all under one roof and be able to talk to like-minded individuals.
And I know you've got a mortgage bill and a car and all of those things that we don't like to talk about on the Sud Show. Do you end up at points in time where you're at shows, you're almost grinning like a four-year-old baby meeting an ice cream cone for the first time because of something that is displayed in front of you that somebody else has put together?
Yes. First and foremost, I'm a plantsman, and I have to try very hard not to let my personal preferences and prejudices interfere with work, because my job is to provide images that are useful to magazines, newspapers, etc., etc. But there are times when I'm drawn towards my pet loves in life.
I do understand what Ian is saying, where as a guy who builds gardens for a living, designs gardens for a living, but at the same token, I think one of the pros of running a garden podcast, which I'm told is widely successful, is that I have access to these shows. That said, when I build a garden, or the greatest garden designer in the planet builds a garden, I and Dean are still allowed to be critical, as are you, pays 30 or 40 or 20 quid through the door. Sure, as people have music tastes, you are allowed to say, I prefer this one over the other. Where and which way does your horticultural mind lean?
I have varied interests everywhere. My background is that I've grown cacti and succulents for many, many years. So as soon as I see some of them in the garden, my eyes are instantly drawn to it. Unfortunately, sometimes if you look at it and you think, oh, that's not a very good one, it can give you the negative. If you know a plant really too well, you tend to start being a little bit critical about it. But generally, I try and sit back and think, what are they trying to achieve? And I just go with the flow and enjoy what people put in front of me, really.
So when we take Tatton 2017, the garden that was built and designed by the gentleman, former guest of the show, Warnes McGarr, I gather that warmed ever so slightly.
It did. I must admit, those two designers I see regularly in various shows, and we have built up a nice relationship. They didn't know my passion for cacti until the day, so it was quite amusing. We started off talking about garden design, and then we started talking about plants and the practicalities of keeping them in gardens, the technicalities of plants, as all plantsmen do, whether it's a cactus or a daffodil. We all go over, how do you grow it? What type of environment do you give it? How do you get it to go so good? That's everything that a plantsman always talks about.
Where you should have been earning a living and saying, no, Ian, be strict with yourself here. Get on, take your photographs, submit them to the paper, the magazine, and earn your living. You decided to take the time. So in a sense, we're on par. There's a monetary thing that has to be done in there as well. But there's also, we're back to it again, that child with the ice cream cone for the first time ever. Is that a fair appraisal of your character and how you operate when you're at a show? You enjoy it, so you take your time a little bit more.
Oh yes, I always have 2 or 3 days there, 1 or 2 days to go frantic and get the images quickly for the newspapers and the magazines. And then I allow myself some indulgence time, and I go around taking sorts of plant portraits, and I've become drawn to plants and talk to nurserymen. And the wonderful thing about plants is you can be standing next to somebody in Chelsea or Hampton Court, and you can talk to them about plants, and you don't know whether they're a dustman or a lord, and it doesn't matter. It's one of the great levelers in life. Plants are a real wonderful leveler.
Let's get into this then, Ian, because when we talk about gardening and plant societies, and you know, I would suggest the industry en masse a little bit better than maybe Peter, should I not be doing something like I'm doing now, as in the Sud Show with 360 something previous episodes to it, and 3 years hitting Chelsea's and Hampton's and Tatton's and whatever other garden show I can literally get my hands on. This is my thing that I absolutely adore and love doing with my heart. Being that you've got that, I guess, all-encompassing little bit of a view, and also that access behind the scenes, and we're on the lead into, I guess, horticultural societies or gardening societies, How have they been faring over the last decades, Ian? What has been the ups and downs, or in some cases, the demise of, and how do you see it for the future?
Oh, that's a very difficult question. I think the concept behind garden clubs is wonderful. It brings lots of like-minded people together so that you can all enjoy your passion. But I think all specialist societies are struggling a little bit at the moment. Fortunately, the Cactus Society's membership is fairly good and it's going up a little bit. But generally, plant societies are struggling. And I think that's down to lifestyles. People are busier. We are getting away from being a culture where you go to club meetings or you go to meetings in church halls or village halls. I don't think people have necessarily got the time for that now. And so the resources of Facebook, there are a plethora of specialist plant groups on Facebook. And you can have your fix of plants each day if you wish. But I think the big problem there is what you miss is that person-to-person contact. You can't talk to somebody over the internet like you would talk to them face-to-face. And the killer blow, I think, is that over the internet, you can't swap cuttings. You can't swap little bits or, oh, have a pot of this and have a pot of that or take a cutting of that one. So I think people that just do their botanizing on the internet are really missing out on some of the wonderful benefits that plant societies and garden clubs have in general.
Okay, I'm going to go twofold here. And the first fold is the Galtymore Dance Hall in Cricklewood, the old Irish dance hall. And the chandeliers were cylindrical, but made into sections of squares, each narrowing as they went down until eventually it went entirely round. And I'll never forget a most romantic place. You could close your eyes and the music just lifted you away. And when it closed down, the sign on the door said, due to changing times. And on one hand, I found it a little bit of a shame, and I would maybe fit a little bit some elements of gardening and garden societies in there. And for those of you listening at home, don't get me wrong, me and Ian have spoken off air. We're both on the same page and both want to achieve the same goal. But you can't paint this rainbow-esque leprechaun picture of how we wish that it remained, and things do change and things have to evolve. And hopefully you're listening to this and you'll stand up and say, well, I'm going to do this little bit of X. You might be in Salt Lake City, you may be in Dublin, you might be in London, you might meet Ian at Tanton Park Flower Show and say, you'll never guess what, based on that interview 2.5, 3, 4 years ago, I actually joined the Cactus and Succulent Society, or I joined the Herb Society. It wasn't your one, but I joined this one. And that's exactly what we're getting at. So whilst the sign at Galtymore Dance Hall was the end of an era, literally, the upshot seems to be, when I'm talking to some of them, Ian, says he talking on a podcast, formerly a radio show, but we seem to have taken and absorbed everything a little bit that is online and then turned around. And it was like the dawning of a day, the curtains open, that music starts to come true, the sunshine starts to fill the room, and you get up off your backside and you walk down to the local hall and you say, hi, my name is, and I'd like to join your society. How much is it to join the Cactus and Succulent Society?
Adults, it's a very reasonable £15. Old age pensioners or senior citizens, as we probably should call them, are £12, and juniors are £5. And what that gives you is the ability to go to any of up to 80 branches within the country and enjoy some entertainment. But more importantly, it gives you access to our society forum. We publish a wonderful magazine 4 times a year called Cactus World. So you get a fully, a good magazine. In the December issue, you get a seed list. So you get some really nice choice species coming in. And if you are really, really a techie at heart, we also publish another magazine called Bradlia, which is a botanist delight. It really starts going into the botany of the plants, and you get lots of new discoveries and new plants described there for the first time. And that's a magazine that costs £16, and I guarantee it takes a few weeks to read it because it is It's a very well-written magazine, but it's quite heavy as well.
For those moms and dads of you listening to this at home, I'm not saying that I am the chosen one. We're halfway to a Monty Python joke in there somewhere. I do appreciate that. But at the same token, if you are saying, well, little Johnny is in the garden, he's in the glasshouse, he's in the potting shed, we didn't ask him to go in. The very first plants that I grew were geraniums from cuttings in the saucer of water. I figured that out quite quickly because my pocket money for all of the grass cutting that I did and hedge trimming and anything else that could make me a few quid didn't allow me enough money to buy rooting powder, which at the time cost a fortune, and you could get roots off a geranium cutting quite quickly. But I also realized that cactus babies, as I used to call them, the little offshoots, sprouts up the side, learning how to lift those with a sheet of cardboard so you didn't stab yourself in the finger 50 times at the one go, and how to transplant them on and give them to presents to people who did not know how to look after plants was essentially one of the greatest things ever. They kind of are in the starter plant for almost every child I know now of my age group era, even older or younger again. It is almost a gateway into horticulture for every person starting off. Is that a fair way to put that?
Oh, I think that's a wonderful description. The beauty of these plants is that whilst there are some very, very tricky and difficult ones to grow, there are a lot which are easy to grow. And not only are they fairly easy to grow, they're quite easy to propagate. And that's a wonderful thing for a child or an adult as well. We did a display locally in Worcester, and we gave away over 600 cuttings on our display in the summer. And we got people to mix the compost up, so nice open compost, got them to pot it up, top dress it and put a label in. And people just said, I didn't realise it would grow from a stick, didn't realise it would grow. We chopped up bits of echeveria and things like that and showed them how they could propagate it from a leaf or a cutting. And if you do that with children, you get them hooked, not necessarily on cacti and succulents, but you get them hooked on horticulture. And once you've got horticulture in your blood, then you've got it for life.
How did you get into it, Ian? Were you a little bit on par with myself? And I noticed the sideshow joke in there where Peter used to grow plants under his bed and bring cacti to school in my satchel to see if phototropism might take place within the space of a 40-minute semester. In a nutshell, it made sense at that time, at that age. Did you have an element of that in you as a nipper, as a grown-up?
Oh, yes. I grew plants from a very young age, and my mother had a few cactus on the windowsill. And if I had a little bit of pocket money, we may go down to Woolworths and I was allowed to buy a little one. And that becomes, yes, and you have your own collection. And the good thing about cacti and succulents is that you can only really kill a lot of the common ones with too much kindness. So when children forget to water them occasionally, it actually, instead of doing them any harm, it probably does them good. It stops them being overwatered. And it encourages children and adults just to get their hands into some compost and feel them. And oh, it's a wonderful opportunity. As you can tell, I'm very passionate about growing plants in general, but my cacti and succulents obviously are slightly special as well.
Let's go another way on this one, Ian, because one of the comments that has come up, and I appreciate it, this should be entirely about the Cactus and Succulent Society, and to you listen to this, if that's what you were expecting, I do slightly apologise, but Ian is the opening interview to the next ones coming along the way, and if it's a case of, we'll just have Ian back on the show and that'll even out the playing field, if you really want to call it that, or I'll bump into him at Tatton and I'll just buy him a pint and we'll figure it out that way.
Yes.
Are you finding, Ian, with members to the Cactus and Succulent Society, that as Mark Gregory would have discussed with me on a previous episode, that whether you're coming to horticulture at 60 years of age or at 22 or 23 years of age, and you've got 3 years experience and you're at Tatton or Chelsea or Hampton for the first time, why not, and why not indeed? Or as you rightly said, it is a leveler, that photosynthetic thing, that little cactus baby, as I would call it, that something germinating, it still makes me at 41 years of age, it makes my eyes just open up literally like I've just seen the Blues Brothers movie for the very, very first time. It was a miracle in 1980s Ireland to see a film with James Brown, John Belushi, Aretha Franklin, all of the greats. Do you find that when those new members, irrespective of age, come in, do you find that they tend to have that kid like? How's that all working out?
I think there's definitely several groups of people that go into sort of new hobbies. There's the newly retired, I think, is a great one. I give quite a few talks to the U3A, and it's unbelievable how many members of the U3A then start to develop a windowsill collection and probably expand it and make it bigger. I think that people can be captivated by the hobby of growing plants at any age. The shame is that people have become sort of convinced that the way to go is to buy your plant from a garden centre or buy your plant from the supermarket, put it on the windowsill. When it grows, if it gets too big, you either throw it away and buy a new one. What I think is the wonderful element of horticulture, and it's only by getting your hands dirty, is you start to learn how to grow things and propagate things and put your hands in the compost and get dirty. It's all about understanding nature, and it's not just and also with the cacti, when we were young and you and I probably had plants, but they very seldom flowered. But now, if you know what you're doing, most of the cacti and succulents will flower regularly for you, and they've got spectacular flowers. And the first time you flower that new plant that you've got, or somebody gave you a cutting, the first time it flowers, you're so amazed, and you get your phone or your camera out and you take a picture and you send it to them and say, look what I've done. And the sheer joy of growing something comes to the fore.
I was going to ask you a different question, but I'll stick with this one. And it's one of the comments that came in was that like-minded individuals, and I remember standing in a pub not so long ago showing grown friends of mine a cactus that had just come into flower that I had never seen before. And I'm showing this to them like as if here's me meeting Shania Twain or some such artist that I actually don't even like Shania Twain's music, but none to the point, Johnny Logan, Elton John, whoever is your man that you're into. And they're essentially telling me, Peter, would you ever go away and do one? I'm going to throw your phone out onto the street if you don't shut up about that cactus. And the note that came in on Twitter was, when you show that to somebody who's of a photosynthetic mind who appreciates how long it takes to get that to flower, they may not admit it, but they appreciate it. You're now in that room with all of the other crazy little fellas, and therefore you feel a little bit quite at home, plus there's the social side to it. Is that a fair way to put that?
I think it is. I think it is, yes.
Have you had those moments, Ian, where you've turned around to your non-horticultural mates and said, hey, take a look at this, and they went, oh, for God's sake, he's at it again?
Before I became a garden photographer, I had another life in offices, and it was quite well known for me to take a little box of plants in to show people what had happened in my greenhouse that weekend. So I think you can't help, if you've got a passion for anything in life, whether it be football, rugby, gardening, you can't help but want to share it with people.
There seems to me a slight bit of, people seem to be slightly, I won't say besotted, but consumed. The amount of press releases that I've read, that have come into my desk, that I've seen published in mainstream print, in non-mainstream print for that matter, basically saying that we need to get young people into gardening. They all seem to have this tagline of young people, and half of my head is saying, if you're publishing this in the Telegraph newspaper, for which the demographic is not under 17 years of age, if you're on BBC Radio 4, no disrespect, I'm a huge fan of the show, again, it's not the demographic to be sending it on to, but they seem to only appear, or maybe appear a little bit more in that which I therefore managed to read. My head says that if they changed that word from we need to get young people into gardening to we need to get new people into gardening, therefore you eliminate the age thing. Would that better tie in with what or where garden societies and groups maybe need to go?
Yes, yes, I would say that you should have several target demographics. And if you'd allow me, I'll just give you my view.
Please.
It's always important to get children involved with gardening. It doesn't matter whether they're going to grow a radish, some cress or a cactus. It's important to get them involved with gardening, full stop. Then boys and girls leave school, they develop interests in other boys and girls, and they go out and have a good time in their 20s. And then later in the life, late 20s, maybe they settle down and maybe get their first place and they share it with their partner. And this is the first time that they come home regularly to the same place at sensible times. And that then is a new demographic. People want to grow plants on their windowsills. They may have bought a small house. It may only have a small garden, but they need to plant it up with something. So that's another demographic, people that are starting to settle down. And then, of course, you get people that have had children. The children have grown up, left home. They've got a little bit more spare time. Maybe that's another demographic. And then finally, the recently retired and the retired people that have got a lot more time. And I think generally it's different types of plants for different ages, but it's all about understanding what people have the opportunity and the time to grow, rather than trying to force a big old-fashioned collection of a 30 or 40-foot greenhouse down their throat.
We have had essentially a 9-10 year Great Depression recession worldwide. Do you think that's had a bearing on how the society's maybe had a bit of a stall, Ian?
I think, yes, that's one of the very important reasons. And it happened with me. When my boys were growing up, I still had the interest in my plants and still cultivated them in my greenhouse. But I didn't attend so many events because weekends were precious and your family is very, very important. So, yes, exactly. And then when they start growing up and they don't want dads around so often, that's the opportunity to start pushing your feet back into your hobby and getting involved again.
The last time you were with the Cacti and Succulent Society meeting, Ian, what was it like? What could people new to the society expect?
Well, I actually went to an independent little cactus club, not part of the main society, in Worcester recently. And there was probably 15, 18 people there for a lecture on plant hunting in Africa.
Wow.
And the cactus clubs are very, very, very fortunate. They meet generally once a month. They nearly always have a speaker, and the speaker may talk about cultivation or a particular group. But very often, it's about plant hunting exploits all around the world. And, you know, in my time, I've been plant hunting Madagascar, Africa, Mexico, and all sorts of places. And, you know, people go out and give talks, and it's a travelogue, and it's an opportunity to share your holiday snaps. And you get an hour and a half's entertainment and a cup of tea for just turning up, really. It's a wonderful opportunity. And then there's plant sales and the opportunity to swap cuttings. And that's the important thing, I think, about clubs, is you get the opportunity to go and see people rather than just read about it and see pictures on the internet.
Now, here's a funny thing, Ian, because every single occasion that we have met, if you don't mind me saying this, there has been alcohol involved in some format or other.
There has, yes. alcohol very seldom takes place at a cactus meeting, but there's also, you know, there's some shows that we have, you know, branch shows, regional shows, and then once every 4 years I'm involved with helping to organise the national show, which is, we held our last one last year. And we get thousands of people coming to look at these plants that have been staged. And some of them are either colossal or real miniatures. You know, you can have a miniature cactus that's in a 5-inch pot that's probably 110 years old. And that's the beauty of the hobby. When you get into it, you start discovering all these miniatures. And, of course, a miniature cactus is worth its weight in gold in a collection, because you can have a whole collection of miniatures rather than three or four really big ones. So the specialists tend to go for small plants simply because they can cram more into their greenhouse, windowsill, or whatever.
For you listening at home, if you're on the road, if you're driving, don't worry about any of the details. Just send me a note at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/thesideshow or sideshow.com. We'll put you directly in touch with either Ian or the Cactus and Succulent Society. And Ian Thwaites, thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you once again. And in this case, I'm having a cup of Two Spots coffee, not a glass of champagne or a pint of Guinness.
Unusual.
Slightly unusual. We parked that bit of the conversation just there. Yeah. Thanks very much for taking the time to talk to me, Ian.
No problem at all, mate. No problem.
Excellent. Pleasure, Ian. Take care. Have a good one.
All right. You take care. Cheers.
Cheers. Bud.
Bye then.
Bye-bye.